This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Law Talk on Joy Drive.
Sally Nichols is the managing partner at Nichols Family Law. Good afternoon, Sally.
Oh, good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and looking forward to chatting to you. Can you believe it's December? The holidays are fast approaching, and for Christmas, those who celebrate it, those who don't, still a busy year. New Year's is coming up after that. I just thought, we celebrated our 30th anniversary on Friday as well.
I wanted to say congratulations. I mean, we're very, very proud of your 30 years and being the only, I think you're still the only LGBTIQ+ community station in Australia.
We are. There's only room for us. Awesome. We're too good at what we do. We don't need another one. And we love the support that Nichols Family Law has always given us over the last few years anyway. But Sally, you know, let's reflect on the year. What's been going on in the family law space? I mean, the year's just gone so quickly.
Oh, it has, Warren. And there are many issues that are happening in the family court. The courts combined, we used to have a federal circuit court and family court, and they've actually combined, they're brought together, and there's now all sorts of consolidated applications that work together. But just for the area of family law, I think perhaps after COVID too, just has been on, divorces have been on the increase. And I know in 2022 and 2023, there were 45,529 divorce applications made.
Oh, my goodness. 45,529.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of divorce applications. And my first question is, Sally, how does the court keep up with such a high demand?
Well, the court just keeps rolling out different efficiencies, and I guess it's lessons learned. Like any type of, I guess the court's almost a business, you work out what actually works. And the court's actually trying to increase its clearance rate and just making sure that they actually finalise applications. So they've got a clearance rate apparently of 102%. Now, I need to know what that actually means. And it's not a typo, and I checked that. But apparently the clearance rate is over 100% because it means that the court has finalised any outstanding divorce applications from previous years.
Oh.
So they're doing really better to try and actually get people to be able to move on with their life, which is good, but it's also got some really exciting initiatives, which I think really value add for vulnerable people.
Before we get into the exciting initiatives, I mean, 45,000 divorce applications made to the court. I mean, they're only the ones that get to court, aren't they? A lot of them, mediation happens or are resolved, but they don't even get to you. I mean, there must be so many.
There are, and I actually think when we're looking at divorce applications, this is just the finalisation, the separation of the marriage. So I don't even think we're looking at the other applications that we've talked about over the years, such as applications in relation to parenting or property settlement. This is just purely divorce, splitting and severing the marriage. How unromantic.
Just before Christmas. Just a question for you, Sally. Do you get more after Christmas? Like, do things start to ramp up?
Absolutely. I've from my experience, I think a lot of people wait for Christmas or special anniversaries like birthdays and even wedding anniversaries to pass. But Christmas is one where, and my personal opinion is, a lot of people, it's a pretty difficult time.
Mm.
And you've got the pressure of all those magical, even some of the ads in relation to, supermarket chains, you have the family sitting around with the turkey and everything's great and all the presents. Oh. It's not like that for a lot of people. And I think there's just that pressure of what it's meant to mean and intact families. And I think I do feel for a lot of our clients, but also people who are fairly vulnerable and struggling at this time. It is, and I find that I get a lot of calls after Christmas Day.
I don't, and I'm not making fun of it at all, light of the situation, but no. I wonder how many people go to Christmas lunch and say, you know what, I am not putting up with that mother or father-in-law ever again.
Look, it's very vexed, and I do think it's a trigger. It is a trigger point, and I do think, funnily enough, too, I found that with people's birthdays and other special anniversaries, it's a bit of a phenomenon. But it's a time, I think, as we've always said, to be kind and just to realise for everybody when people are a bit heated when they're driving, we're thinking you never know what's going on in their life. And I think I just feel that people are a bit heightened at Christmas time too, generally.
I agree. And I reckon most of us don't have that, you know, pristine sort of perfect Christmas that we see on the supermarket ads. I think that is so far from reality.
Yeah, and all those romantic movies that they put out.
Everything
just gets resolved by Christmas Day.
Oh, and the polished teeth
too. But let's try. Let's try to be kind. Let's try to have those silver linings, and the Pollyanna of me will come out again and again. But I do know for a lot of people, particularly even trying to, you know, organise Christmas arrangements too, and it's just tough, and tough for kids in particular. We need to keep remembering that things might be tough in your relationship, but if you look through a kid's eyes, let's try and make this time peaceful and try and avoid them being in any tug of war on Christmas Day if we can.
I agree. We are chatting with Sally Nichols, Managing Partner at Nichols Family Law. Now, Sally, you did mention that the Family Court has some exciting initiatives, and I digress for a little while. What are those initiatives?
Oh, the initiatives are really focused on what we're talking about, trying to make things better for vulnerable people, to have, you know, progress positive change and the ability to adapt to global challenges like COVID. And I think the court's always been particularly good at embracing innovation, and it did so with the aim of just improving the experience of these families who come into contact with the court. No one wants to be there. It can be quite traumatic, and it's much better, as we know, to make decisions amongst ourselves, but if we have to go through a court process, there can be some initiatives that might actually make that process just easier for litigants.
Now, Sal, I'm really excited because, I mean, I have a puppy dog. He's 17 years old. He's so old, and I know that I'm going to have to let him go eventually or soon, and it's really, really hard, but I just love dogs. I think dogs are absolutely amazing. In fact, I just love animals, and the court has a doggy program.
I know, this, I have to say, was one of the most beautiful events at the court that I've ever been to. I felt lucky enough to go to the opening ceremony where Poppy, the therapy dog, was sworn in as her wagginess or something like that, or her furriness. It was very, very cute. So she was given a title. She put a little paw print when she was sworn in, a special certificate. It was just gorgeous. And what was really moving is there was an accompanying video showing what the work that Poppy intended to do. And you're working with children who might be waiting in the court for different outcomes and being cared for. And just even the picture of these children, which I think we knew were child actors, but patting Poppy brought a tear to my eye. And also to litigants who are actually giving evidence in court, one of them had Poppy with her little head on their knee. It was really, really kind, and they show that around the world it's an initiative that's coming more and more prevalent in all different jurisdictions. I think they had Lucy as a trial therapy dog for a while, who was also a Black Labrador, and Lucy was such a success that Poppy was brought in, and brought in with the support of the Victorian Law Foundation for Memory. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing to do
to people.
And I do know that one of the judges takes care of Poppy overnight. There was a lot of straws being pulled because everyone wanted Poppy. But I think she just makes everyone's life a bit better and just brings down the level of tension, which is wonderful.
So obviously it's not the first time that a court dog has been used in the world. Are there any other initiatives from the court which stood out to you apart from Poppy? I mean, nothing's going to beat Poppy as far as I'm concerned.
No. Poppy is the best. And I think now that Melbourne has Poppy, I think every other registry will be wanting for Poppy. And I do know that Hobart is getting Zoe.
Oh, Zoe!
She's working in the coming months. So how exciting for Tassie.
Yeah.
That's good. But you're right. Look, there are... Poppy is amazing. I think too, looking at the court's dedication to trying to address family violence in an effective way, which sadly, as we knew, increased during COVID and became more prevalent because of people being contained in that way. And this year, the court's done a lot in that space to protect victim survivors.
How common is family violence in the family law system?
It is prevalent, and I think for all of us, it's something that we need to speak more, call out, and really be active bystanders. I think we see it in our workplace, we see it around us, and we probably, I think there unwittingly, we might not realise sometimes what people are actually going through. And it might be your colleague who comes in really ranting and raving about, in an unkind way, about their partner. I think this behaviour needs to be checked, because it is common. And I think at the moment too, it's broadened now to include areas like coercive control, which we've spoken about before. Just patterns of behaviour where one partner makes the other partner's world shrink, in effect. I think we know, we hear stories about that. It might be in relation to being financially controlling, and just behaviours can actually shrink their degree of independence, and I think it's a lot more prevalent than we really think.
And it's interesting, because sometimes you can be out, I mean, just out for dinner, for example, and there might be a couple there, and someone will say something, well, one of the partners will say something about the other one, like put them down or something like that. I always call it out, because I just think it's so inappropriate to do it to your partner.
Oh, look, it really is. And if we're looking at percentages too, and I actually looked that up before for you, and it was 83% of family law matters in 2022. In 2023, there was an allegation of family violence. That doesn't mean necessarily that it was established, but for that percentage for people to claim that they had family violence involved in their matters, it's pretty disparate. It's terrible.
What initiatives has the court developed this year to address this high rate of family violence?
Well, firstly, in August this year, the court published a series of animated short films, which I also observed, and they're really, really effective. And they were short and sweet, but they're online, but they're there to help educate the public on legal issues. But one of those videos addresses the question of what is family violence? These series of short films just builds on the existing online resources, and listeners can actually go to the resource tab of the court's website and click on the video option to actually access the short films.
Oh, so we just search family court and we'll find them there.
Yeah, and look under resources to find them.
Fantastic. What else have the court been doing to in the family violence space this year?
Well, one of the projects that I've been aware of for a long time is the Lighthouse program, and that's an ongoing initiative for the court, and that actually was piloted, but now it's actually been broadened throughout 2023, and it's this world first initiative for the court, which sets out to screen family law litigants for major risk factors, including family violence or child abuse or alcohol or substance and mental health issues. And it's like a triage service, so it's trying to distill those issues right at the beginning of a legal process when a person makes the application, and it seeks to ensure that these risk factors are identified early but then managed effectively from the very start, with the aim to protect the safety and well-being of vulnerable people. And I think it was expanded in November 2022, and it would be excellent, because unfortunately we've had cases where there have been these allegations raised and they haven't been really dealt with until a final hearing. And this is obviously in the past, and we're hoping the Lighthouse program has changed this, but the final hearings can sometimes be 18 months after the allegation has been made, and that just wasn't good enough for children. So this initiative, I think, screening for risk factors is terrific.
Fantastic. So that is called the Lighthouse Program. Are there any?
So it's got a family triage risk questionnaire, and it's quite extensive.
Fantastic. Are there any other areas that the court has been, innovating? That's the word, isn't it?
Well, some really important news was announced by the court in July this year, and that was the appointment of Hayley Foster as Director of Family Violence and Indigenous Programs. So Hayley was a former chief executive of Full Stop Australia, which is a charity that supports people affected by sexual, domestic or family violence. Mm-hmm. And so Hayley obviously brings incredible knowledge and experience to this role. And so she actually is able to actually have an important impact on programs like Lighthouse and these other, and even the use of Dear Poppy, for example.
Fantastic. Now, we had earlier on the referendum, which put a lot of pressure on our Indigenous friends and family. Does the court do anything specifically for Indigenous people?
Yeah, it does. It certainly does. And it's enshrined in our Family Law Act that we recognise the cultural impact of any parenting decisions where there is Indigenous and Torres Strait Islanders. And one exciting announcement this year for the court is that there are two additions to the court's Indigenous specialist list, both within New South Wales. And having those lists is, you know, important because we know there are particular legal challenges for Indigenous in litigation, full stop. And this is really, really helpful. So the specialist list, it's designed to meet the needs of the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders. And if a matter is allocated to that list, it means that there's a degree of informality is adopted in the case and specialised support services available on the day of the hearing. And it might even be that the judge decides to close the court to the public if it's considered appropriate. So the overall aim is to ensure fair and equitable access to justice to all Australians, because it's not a one-size-fits-all family model.
We're chatting with Sally Nichols, the managing partner at Nichols Family Law, reflecting on the year, I suppose. That's what we're doing, aren't we, Sal? And I know that property disputes are a big aspect of what the court does. We did speak about the divorces before. Has the court done anything or introduced any initiatives this year, I suppose, in respect of the property?
Well, it has nothing to try and deal with those efficiencies, where I think it was well reported in the past that there were long delays, and this isn't great for litigants at all. So what the court's done in October, it's actually commenced the national expansion of special case management in a process called the Priority Property Pool Program. Lots of alliteration, I would have, my English literature teacher would
Priority
have said.
Property Pool.
Pool Program. It's been operating since 2020, but in a handful of registries, but now it's going to be available in all of the 17 courts registries located nationwide. So when family lawyers speak of property disputes, we're not just talking about physical property such as houses, land and apartments. It's also things like superannuation, credit card debt, a mortgage on a family home, investments, cash. So, again, important issues to be determined. So this program is trying to simplify processes. So for a matter to be heard under the program, the net asset pool needs to be worth less than $550,000, excluding super. Or if it has limited complexity and it's got family violence, it could also come within the program. So it's to try and ensure that there's a cost-effective and simple and safe option for resolving property pursuits. So that's another area which would be gladly welcomed.
Now, Sal, we're just about to run out of time, but I know one thing that we've spoken about. We've covered a lot that we've spoken about this year that the court does is amazing, and that is the alternative dispute resolution process.
Yes. And look, the words mediation, conciliation, arbitration might sound familiar, but the court is just as committed to actually trying to have people resolve their own disputes. They know that they're the venue of last resort. So the court's actually conducted a total of 4,689 dispute resolution conferences for families with high settlement rates in the last year. And that's amazing because ADR is significantly less costly than commencing legal proceedings, and, you know, the requirement of legal representation can be waived. So ADR is a really great means of actually reducing the stress of having to participate in court processes. So the court's actually received an award for Courts and Tribunal Alternative Dispute Resolution Group of the Year for this particular initiative. So, great results there. Good to have some good news stories about a pretty difficult topic.
Definitely. And I imagine the work that you do, of course, it can be quite difficult at times. But I've got to admit, I love Poppy, the therapy dog. Sal?
Oh, my God, I wanted to put her in my handbag, but it wasn't big enough.
Give her a hug for me. I can see you with a nice little fluffy dog in your handbag.
Oh, I would like you. I used to dream as a child of having, well, I've got three dogs.
There you go. Dogs. Three or four.
They're very cheeky.
So
maybe just a little one, extra one.
Thank you so much for today. Good to chat with you. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the new year. Have a good festive season and break.
Absolutely. And to all the listeners out there, keep well, safe, be kind. And I hope everyone's very safe and well during the silly season. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks, Sal. That is Sally Nichols, Managing Partner at Nichols Family Law.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.